Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode 23. On today's show, we ask the questions, is Themba Zwane underrated? And what went wrong for Siphelele Ntsangase? And how to fill a stadium with no fans? As usual, I am not alone. I've got the man himself, Sean Roberts. How you doing?
Thank you, Slu. Absolutely world-class. Thanks, buddy. Hope you're well, too.
And we also have the legendary Teko Modise. How you doing, sir?
Ah, fantastic, my friend. How are you?
All good, all good. Well, you know, we all need a laugh during these times, all right? Sean Roberts, do you have a joke of the day for us?
I do, gents. Are you ready?
No.
Yes, indeed.
What part of the football pitch smells the nicest? The center spot.
Scent.
You see, you like it.
Oh, God.
Teko.
Yes. How are you?
Wow.
Edwin. I didn't get it, so it's fine.
The scent.
So the scent of a woman.
Aye.
The center.
Center seki.
I need to go back to basics. I need to go back to basics, guys.
Yeah, I know.
That one went out. You had to reach for that one. That one was a deep one. I don't know. All right. But our first story, we've spoken about this player a couple of times, but I feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves a lot of the time. And so we asked the question, is Themba Zwane underrated? Let's look at his resume since his return from Black Aces back in 2014. He's won 3 PSL titles, 2 in Telkom knockouts, 1 Nedbank Cup, a CAF Champions League and Super Cup. This season he's got 9 goals, including some clutch winners when he was facing Celtic and Stellenbosch FC. So all of this in mind, why do you guys think that he doesn't necessarily get the credit he deserves, and how important is he to that Sundown starting 11?
Well, in this podcast he certainly gets praised, I think, more than any other player, and that's in my opinion, that is without a doubt, he is massively he's underrated, I guess. He left a massive void when I think he was injured for quite a while, a good few months the beginning of the season, and when he's come back you've seen the complete change in what he brings to the Sundowns striking force. He's a top player, a very good pro, which is also very rare these days, and yeah, he's without a doubt the glue of Mamelodi Sundowns in my opinion. What do you think, Tex?
In the center. Yeah, look, I think Sean, you're right, man. I mean, we speak about his importance into the Mamelodi Sundowns team, and this is a team that has a crazy schedule every season, and he's as important as well to the national team. You know, you see what he brings into the national team. He's the kind of player that Mamelodi Sundowns are looking up to him when they want to play, and he makes them play. And what's interesting, especially this season, is that he scores goals. And he's the only midfielder, I think, that has more goals than all the midfielders in the country. And for that, you actually stand a chance of being a Footballer of the Year. And again, he was a nominee as well last season. When Lodge won it, he was the candidate as well. And looking at his consistency as well, you know, it's key. You know, he plays week in, week out. You know, if he's not injured or if Pizzo doesn't decide maybe to rest him, that's a different story. But whenever he's on the pitch, it's a world class. Like, for me, I find it very difficult to understand. As much as we the ones that actually praise him so much, I find it very difficult to understand that why he's not named as one of the top players, if not the top player in the league.
Do maybe, you know Themba Teko? Are you good mates with him?
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, like, with Themba, like, he's got a shy character. He's a very shy person, down to earth. You know, you will never actually see him being busy on the social network. He's not that type of a person. But when he's on the pitch, he's the busiest of them all. He likes being on the pitch. He loves football. Like you said, he's a good professional footballer. He's a good example of how a professional footballer should be. And looking at his growth as well, from where he started to be where he has won everything besides maybe MTN 8. He has won everything. And then at his age as well, you see, And for me, it's the same thing that I spoke about last season when Lodge won the Football of the Year. I had no beef. I have no beef still with Lodge, but I felt like when you've been selected as being a Football of the Year, you've been selected overall. Mm. Like also include the national team performance as well, looking at as well in your influence in the team as well, the contribution that you bring in. And it just said in South Africa, I always say, like in South Africa, we neglect the stats, we neglect the numbers, because we go with what we feel about the player. We're not forgetting about the numbers. If we install the numbers in football in South Africa, you will see that so many players that are overrated, so many PSL players are overrated, so many as well are underrated as well. So maybe that will fix that in that regard, because for me, Temba Zwane is being the most consistent, and with Mamelodi Sundowns chasing the league, he's the guy that actually they'll be looking at in the team to actually help them play. And I feel like he's done what he's supposed to do. There's nothing that Temba Zwane can't do now, especially now with him scoring so many goals. I just wish that maybe when the league continues scoring more goals, at least now they've rested. But for me, is one of the top three candidates for Football of the Year this season. Mm.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about him? He reminds me of the kind of unassuming players in the Premier League. For Man United, I would say maybe Ryan Giggs, where for so long he's so consistent, he never really puts a foot wrong. But if you were to say greatest Man United player of all time, probably not gonna immediately say Ryan Giggs.
Like a James Milner.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Like very, very strong there. I remember someone tweeting something interesting there when Bafana had to play the first qualifiers under Molefi, where Temba Zwane had just come back, I think, and he was playing well. And someone said, Temba Zwane is the type of player that you should try and build a team around. Because obviously on Sundowns, you don't have to. You can put all the right pieces in Sundowns because you have the money. But when it comes to a team like Bafana, do you guys agree with that sentiment that you could build a team around a guy like Temba Zwane?
I think, you know what, Slew, at the international level, it changes big time. You look at Lionel Messi, for example, with Argentina. He's a completely different player when it comes to Argentina. He doesn't shine nearly as much as he does with Argentina than he does for Barca. Ronaldo, possibly a little bit of an exception. He seems to shine either way. So it's a tough one, especially the style that Bafana play. You can't really base a team around a player in the national team, in my opinion. I don't know what Teko thinks, but that's my opinion.
Look, I think in the national team, you need a star player. You need a player that will inspire other players to play well. And Temba Zwane is that guy. Mm. But it's just that the problem, I think, is within the national team, I don't necessarily think that we have an identity in terms of how we play. That's why Sundowns is such a star, because Sundowns have identified how they play. I think in the national team, we're still searching, and also with having different coaches, so most of the time it doesn't help us in terms of how we want to play. Mm. But I don't see any national team, our national team, actually being selected without Temba Zwane playing. And if you can also realize also what also maybe put a stamp on Lodge in the national team is when Temba Zwane got suspended and Lodge came in and played and he scored that goal, that wonderful goal that he scored against Egypt. Yes. But also, if you can say, maybe, you know, it happened. You know, football is like that. It happens to a person that's supposed to happen to you. Of course, he won the Football of the Year, and that happens as well. It took his pedal way above. But yet again, you come back to this season. The only person that was a nominee on the Football of the Year category last season, the only person that is consistent, that's Temba Zwane, and nobody else. Mm. So now when you look at the overall performance this season of the teams, you can say Kansas Chiefs has been very dominant in terms of how they play, especially this season. They've been very aggressive. You look at Mamelodi Sundowns coming back when we knew exactly that they have no, you know, having games at hand doesn't guarantee you points, but coming back the way they play, they've been hustling and they've been getting points, and Temba Zwane has been one of those guys as well that have been doing very, very well. And to see also, like, to come back to the point of being in the national team, I think in the national team, yes, it's important to have a star player, the player that will actually look up to, but I don't think it's an ideal situation to actually build a team around a player in the national team.
Yeah,
I 100% agree. Sorry, Slew. And just in terms of his consistency within the PSL, it's very, very rare these days to find a consistent player as consistent as Temba. I mean, even last week we spoke about how consistent Jomo Sono was.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to find that. So you can imagine we having these same conversations in 2-3 seasons' time, and he's still been that consistent. He's got to be up there with some of the PSL's greatest ever, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Definitely. Have to agree with that. And when it comes to the national team level, I suppose we also need to kind of find some consistency as a national team in terms of coaching staff, as Esteco mentioned, and also style of play, as you mentioned as well. You can't really expect one player to carry a team that doesn't really have a vision to begin with, I suppose.
Sure.
So, what went wrong for Spelele Ntshanga? So we can move on to this story. If you get the paper online, it's available on Maxter.com. It's not printing this week currently, but the kind of the central story is this Chiefs star who this season has been tough. He hasn't played a single minute for Chiefs this season. He hasn't even made the match day squads. Back when Salinas was in charge, he tried to convert him from his standard number 10 position to a number 8 alongside Katande. Did not really work out. Under Middendorp, he found himself on the right side of a diamond midfield. So what do you guys think went wrong for Ntshanga? So was it just the wrong move for him? Are coaches using him the wrong way? Or is there something going on behind the scenes that maybe we don't know?
Look, it's possibly all the above, but in my opinion, he's not a defensive midfielder. He's an attacking man. He's a very, very good player. Don't get me wrong. He's just not suited for Kaizer Chiefs at the moment. You can't ask a player... Well, you can ask a player like that to come back and track back, but he's not going to. They've tried and tried and tried, and it's just not embedded in him that he's going to track back. He's an attacking midfielder. He's a very good midfielder. But at the moment, that's not what they're after. Do you know what I mean? They don't need that. So... it's time for him to move on, in my opinion. Where he goes, I don't know. Whether it's a team like a Barocco or a Black Leopard that'll suit his style of play. But his style of play at the moment doesn't really fit into the Kaizer Chiefs setup. If you're going to ask him to track back, he needs to track back, which he's not doing. That's just my opinion. But he's a very, very good player.
Yeah. You're right. Shawnee, I think... It's very difficult, number one, to play for a big team like Kaizer Chiefs, especially coming from a very small team where everything went around you, and then the certain things that have been demanded in a big team that you can't provide. And as a footballer, if you're not going to change with times and with the demands of football right now, you're going to be left behind. And this is exactly what's happening with Spelele. He's a fantastic player. But yet again, football also requires not just talent. It also requires for one to work hard, for one to be part of the system that actually functions and work well within the team structure. And he's not giving that into Kaizer Chiefs. Hence, you see Lebo Manyama being that important figure in the team. I think what Spelele is we need to understand also, we need to be... You know, we need to accept that the number 10 role in South Africa, very few players can play that position, and very few teams have the number 10. And most of the teams that has the number 10 are smaller teams.
Yes.
Majority of the teams that plays with the number 10 are very small teams. The big teams, Sundowns, we've got two 10s, which those two 10s presumably are the wingers that comes inside and form the two 10s. Or sometimes they play with the false nine that makes them two 10s with Serena and Villagas. And Orlando Pirates, you've got the Memela. Sometimes they play with three up front. So those are different stuff. And Vets as well, they've got Jugamache. Or sometimes if it's not there, they play three up front. So there's very few players that actually can, you know, perfect that role. I think it's important for Spelele to actually realize that he needs to change with what the requirements are. He needs to work harder. He needs to prove himself. He needs to prove to everybody else that he's not just a good football player, but, you know, he can work hard for the team. And that's what is required from within the system. You can see everybody works harder. And for Spelele, if he wants to change the mindset of the coach, whatever that he's doing needs to work. You know, sometimes the team can change the system to suit you, but you need to be that player that makes the team tick, that creates goals, that score goals. Playing at the number 10 position, you don't even that creative in terms of goals, you're not scoring goals. There is no point to have a number 10 in the team, and that's what is at now at Kaizer Chiefs. You can't play that role and not being contributing to the assist. So now, I think for me, it's a good step that he took for Kaizer Chiefs just to learn, because I don't think he would have learned that at any different team. So I think now, especially at his age, he now needs to look at this season and what is it that he did wrong, what is it that he needs to improve, what is it that he needs to change, because he can't play the same way and expect to play anywhere else. He can go to whatever team. If he's not going to track back, it's going to be a problem. Because also you must understand, going from a big team like Kaizer Chiefs, let's say going to a smaller team. Now he goes there with the stage of being a Kaizer Chiefs player, former Kaizer Chiefs player, going there. If he's not going to track back, same players, they're going to say he thinks he's bigger than the game because he was playing for Kaizer Chiefs. So it's going to be a problem. So he needs to change how he plays, adjust to the game. So sometimes, because just that it goes for every player. I think every footballer that wants to be great, that wants to be a star, the certain things that need to go through, that those are the kind of things that actually build your character. And this is the time where he needs to build his character and become a different player. Because if he wants to play the way he wants to play just because the fans like him, trust me, he's not going to make it anywhere, irrespective of where he goes, because he's still going to face the same similar problem that he needs to come back and defend. And when he's in the ball, he's on the ball, he needs to be that creative. He needs to create goals. He needs to score goals as well.
Yeah, yes. Correct. I mean, just to add in there, Slew, sorry, bud. This is, as Tekka was saying, just to add on to that, like, this is really such a pivotal time in his career right now. This is make or break. I don't know how he's going to react to all of this, because it hasn't been a great past 18 months for him. We all know that. But this is either make or break for him now. Like Tekka was saying, is he going to go to a new team with a big head, hasn't played many minutes, still thinks he's a Kaiser Chiefs player? That's not going to cut in the PSL with a lot of teams. So I hope he gets his head right. And as I said, he's a hell of a talented player. And if he can get that right, then we're in for a big spoil next season.
Yeah, and you know, to me, it brings up this bigger question. Are we kind of seeing the death of, like, solid roles in terms of where you are on the pitch? Because I'm seeing in Europe, like, the number 10 role has kind of fallen out of favor. A lot of teams are opting for three in the middle of the park, and all of them have to be workhorses, track back and attack and link up with the front three. And even when it comes to strikers, you look at Aubameyang for Arsenal, he's their top goal scorer, but you often find him playing on left wing. If we look at the PSL years ago, Deco, you were converted from the middle of the park out wide. So do you think that we're moving towards this era of kind of positionless football, where everybody is expect, like, you have your position, but you're expected to do a lot more above and beyond just, like, if you're an attacker, you attack. You have to kind of be, What's the right word? But you have to be like Play-Doh. You have to be able to be shaped into different things, you know, for different games.
Slew, the word you're looking for is versatile.
Yeah.
Versatile. Thank you. Lockdown brain, bro.
So, Slew, you're right, man. I think, of course, Liverpool has influenced on how teams approaches the game right now. And also what helps as well within the teams is the kind of players that you have. And sometimes with the players that you have, it helps in terms of having a different type of formation or an identity of the team. And what's happening right now is the reason why you're saying three midfielders, workhorse coming back with three forwards as well. It has helped so many teams as well, but yet again, like I'm saying, we don't see the Ozils now. You don't even speak about them because of that number 10 role. It's slowly dying.
Yeah.
Merely because, like you're right, merely because the teams that are dominating in world football, they don't use a number 10. And we copy the best. People copy the best, and that's what is happening right now. So I'm saying, like you said, if you're not a versatile player, you know, if you're a player that's struggle to adapt to what the football requires right now, you're gonna struggle irrespective of which position you play. You might be a midfielder. If you're a Katande, you just wanna just defend and not play the ball, you're gonna struggle as well. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to be versatile and be doing so many things on the pitch, because gone are those days where you can just do what you're supposed to do and that's it. And rely on other guys to do so many things. As a centre back, you're required to have a couple of goals within the season, because Van Dijk is doing so.
Yeah.
As a midfielder, you required, even if you look at Liverpool, you look at who's their captain?
Jordan Henderson.
When he started off at Liverpool, he was just an anchor guy that we used to defend and that's it. Now he's shifted now because of the Brazilian came from Monaco, come in there in that sixth role, he starts to play. So now you're required in different positions, you're required to do certain things. And if you're a player that's not going to be evolving with the game, you're going to always struggle. You're going to find less talented players, but will probably play more games just because he adjusted to what the situation is. So look at now, even in Keita at Liverpool, he's a fantastic player, but he can't adjust to the system and what's required of football right now. Football now requires if you don't have pace, you need to be good pass off the ball, you need to be able to defend. And if you don't have those type of things, you need to be able to score goals and create goals. Then the system will revolve around you. But if you're not that, you cannot tell me that Messi can move from Barcelona and come to England and do the same thing that he's doing at Barcelona. It's impossible.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see him shine at Argentina, because Argentina is not required to walk. Yes, the coach see he can walk, but he understands that now at Argentina, there's so many, the team doesn't revolve around him as much as they're looking up to him to bring him results, but they're not going to work hard for him to give him the ball and do what he's supposed to do. At Barcelona, it revolves around him. So, yeah. We're not going to have too many Messi's, too many Ronaldo's. But guys, you need to work their ass off. Look at Ozil. Hazard. He's struggling at Madrid because things are different there. The requirements are different. If you're not going to be able to adjust very quickly, you're going to always struggle. But also, as a footballer, also you want to look back and in your career, I'm like, yes, that season actually helped me because I struggled with this and this and this, and I was able to come back next season being a different footballer and adjusting to the game. That's what the greats are. No great football. There's never found such situation when Changas is and able to change their games. Everybody has. I think it is Sean has said. I think this is very, very important for him now to look back and actually reflect on what is it that he needs to change about his game, where he wants to see him, the players that inspires him to be a great footballer. Because you cannot just being a footballer in the league and just watch your games and that's it. You need to be looking up to somebody that is great and playing in your similar position and look at what they're doing. I think Jakarta should be the one, and which they coach by a coach that actually looks at the numbers. You know, he's a coach that actually knows that if you're playing in this team, you need to be contributing of some sort. And I don't think Changas is in that position to be contributing anything positive within the team, except for the fact that the fans like him.
Yeah. And you have to adapt to survive. I mean, Sean, even as a goalkeeper, you've seen, Manuel Neuer for Germany. He ended up kind of coming up. He sometimes plays like a sweeper role almost. So you know, the great players, I think, you know, are able to adapt to different positions. Even Wayne Rooney found himself in midfield towards the end of his career. So it's an interesting topic.
100%. I mean, just to conclude, Slu, to become a successful person, even not even just a sportsman, but let's just talk about a PSL player here. Be consistent, be able to adapt, and be versatile. That's it. I know it sounds easy, but that's it in a nutshell.
Staying relevant for dummies 101 right there. Moving on, we have the international news desk. Right here we have an interesting one. It's two potentially massive money moves. One, this one has been spoken about for a while, in recent months actually a lot in recent months and never before, because I previously thought Mbappe would want to go to Real Madrid, but turns out now it's looking more like he might be a Liverpool boy in future, because Sadio Mane might go to Madrid. And it's interesting, Nike's involved with Liverpool being able to fund this move. But do you guys think that these are dominoes that we could see fall in the summer transfer window? Mbappe, huge money move to Liverpool, Mane over to Madrid?
I mean, wouldn't that be amazing for the Premier League and for the neutral people watching? I think, what is it on? £400,000 a week at the moment? I mean, it's just ludicrous.
That's what he's demanding.
That's what he's demanding. So, yeah, obviously Nike have got to come to the party with that, because I don't think Liverpool can go even near that to afford that. But Mane to Madrid, yeah, I mean, it could happen for sure. I think the Liverpool faithful will surely miss him. But to get Mbappe in as his replacement, oh, and if he stays fit, he will just he'll tear the off the Premier League defenders. I can't wait if this is going to happen.
Hey, I hear you, Sean, tear the defenders. Listen, for me is the question will be, if he comes to Liverpool, let's say the deal does happen, which position would he prefer to play? Would he be suited on the left? Which this is where Mane is playing right now. Would he be able to play on the left? And also, will he be as well doing what is required from the system to track back, to press higher, so much aggression?
Yeah.
Would he be able to do that? Because he's not doing that in the national team. He's not doing that at PSG. So he'll be in different requirements to do. And also, the pace of the game in the APL is way higher than anywhere else. And also, will he be staying fit? Will he be scoring so many goals that he scores there? So those are the kind, and also with the price tag that it comes with, the demand will be so high. And for me as well, is what's important is, would it be a good guy to have in the dressing room? you know, humility, you know, and all that kind of stuff that attributes to being a good team, because that's what Klopp is about.
Yes.
You know, your talent, yes, you've got talent, but would you be a good guy to hang around with in the dressing room? So with Mbappe being a young boy, with Mbappe with the price tag that he has, for me, Mbappe's a talented player, but the price tag that he has, it's insane. It's crazy. I don't think he's done much to actually deserve to be in that category, but it is football. It's a market. It's crazy as well. But for me, if it comes to Liverpool, it'd be very, very interesting to see whether it's going to shine or not. But I would have loved to see him at Real Madrid, because at Real Madrid, you're guaranteed to play Champions League every year. You stand a very good chance of winning the Champions League, like in the EPL. And that's where you want to be. You've won the World Cup. You won the Champions League. You need to go to a team that will actually help you, where the pressure is not that much, but the pressure is on the team itself, not on an individual. And that's where Madrid comes in. Madrid has got the pressure for everyone else, your crews, everybody else that's in the team. There's pressure for them to perform big, yes, week in, week out. When he goes to Liverpool, the pressure will be on him and to do what Son has done, what the Egyptian god has done. So now this will be different requirements. So just that, for me, that I don't doubt his playing abilities. I don't doubt his goal scoring abilities. What my concern is, would he be the guy that actually he will be fit enough, or will fit in the system, especially in the dressing room? Will be the guy to actually to have that humility to understand that he needs to do certain things irrespective of his price tag?
Yes.
Is Liverpool big enough, Teko, for him as a brand?
I've always said that Liverpool is always had players that needed to make their names. Liverpool has made so many people big stars. It's very rare to find a big star coming to Liverpool and especially shine. There's always been the underdogs that grew up within the Liverpool structure and become superstars. So now this one will be very interesting as well. If you remember Suarez coming from Ajax, where he had problems and all that stuff, he came there, he became a superstar. You know, and for me, I don't see that happening with Mbappe, but as well, footballers have evolved. But for me, is the system that is required at Liverpool. We know that Liverpool front forwards, they're working their ass off, and Mbappe has never shown me that side of him. I haven't seen that side of him. Any game that I've watched, I've never seen that side of him. And I've always said that Mbappe relies on his speed, which is his tool. He relies on his speed. Yes, he's a good finisher. Yes, he wants to score goals. Yes, yes, yes. But now, if you want to win the Champions League, because that's what you want to do, because I doubt Liverpool, Madrid will never maybe come close to what he wants to have. But then at the end of the day, the certain sacrifice that you need to make for you to become a top player. And Mbappe is one of the top players, especially the younger ones that are coming up. He's got the potential. But now you want to go to a team that will actually help you to grow and become the best that you want to be in the world. He wants to win the Ballon d'Or. You'll never win it at Liverpool. That's a fact.
And, you know, to me, you brought up a good point about Liverpool being a place where underdogs come to shine. I think you could also say the same about Klopp as a manager. He tends to take underdogs and mold them into superstars. I don't think Klopp has ever once signed a superstar. You know, whether it was with Dortmund or with Liverpool, he always signs guys who still have something to prove. Mbappe is coming there with a World Cup winner's medal. It's going to be a big ego, and he seems like a humble enough gent, but you know, he's also got an arrogant streak to him. So I just don't know how he'll line up there. It's an interesting discussion. I mean, we have to see when football comes back, how much players are worth when it does come back. So all of this is speculation, I like the conversation of Mbappe in the Premier League. That would be very, very interesting.
And also, Slu, if you look, the only way also sometimes to humble these younger ones that are coming up is to surround them with players that have won everything. And that's where Madrid comes in. You cannot tell Ramos anything because he's won everything and he works hard. You know, and those are the kind of you want to surround yourself with such players because of you want to grow as a footballer. Now you're going to Liverpool. Yes, they've won the Champions League last season. Is Liverpool going to win the Champions League again in the near future? The chances are not as much. But also, you're looking at Madrid, what they're trying to do. They have the younger ones there, but the boy from Brazil that's playing on the left, they've got your Hazard there, they've got the younger guys.
Vinicius.
Yeah, they're trying to build a team around the younger ones because they want to build the next generation. You want to be part of that. you want to be part of that. Not necessarily that Liverpool is a bad team to go to, but Liverpool always, like you said, always bring the guys that actually wants to prove themselves, that want to reestablish their careers. Mbappe is a well-established footballer that wants to win the Champions League, that wants to win the important leagues. Because, like I said, I've always said that France, they're playing with doctors and physicians.
They're
pharmacists and all that stuff. So you wanna play amongst the best players. You wanna be surrounded by. You wanna compete with the best players and where the best players are. They're in Spain.
So that's what I'm saying. So you've basically answered my question. You know, I asked, do you think Liverpool's big enough? And it doesn't sound like you agree with that.
No, I
agree with you. I don't think Liverpool's big enough for him and what he wants to achieve.
Yeah,
agreed. And I just personally don't. I think it's the right fit. I'd actually be gutted if Sadio Mane left Liverpool for Madrid. I think he's perfect for Liverpool. Mm. But that's neither here nor there. Let's move on to that real quick. Let's just touch on this. We've been discussing the Belarusian League, the ridiculousness of this country. So they still haven't stopped playing football. And their new solution is because obviously some supporters are like, nah, you know, we're going to stay at home. This is getting a little dangerous. So what the club is doing, this club are called Dinamo Brest. So they've decided to put mannequins all around the stadium. And then fans can pay for their tickets and have their faces pasted on top of the mannequin at the stadium. And they'll also get delivered a match day program to their home address.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. Is this the future of football, guys?
I mean, but the positive out of this, if there's one positive, because I still think it's f-ing ridiculous they're still playing, but the one positive is that all that money that these guys buy the tickets gets donated to help fight the coronavirus. So that's the only positive. How they're still playing, I have no idea. Is this the future of football? God only knows, Lou. I hope not, bud.
I hope not.
It's great content to talk about. Virtual fans, I guess, is that's what it's about, right? I mean, it's virtual fans. They're not even there, but it's cool. But it's cool if they ever make it. It's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
Just an insane one in my opinion, because you know, essentially I can get a ticket to a Belarusian Premier League game now. So Teko, you wanna go with me?
No, I'm good, Chief. I'm good. You can go. I'm shocked, no worries. I'm not gonna risk my health on the football game, especially now. I think what like Shona said, they're trying to come up with a marketing tool that actually works, and also because the donation, the money goes for donation, it helps in that regard. But as for your face, dude, being there and you're not even there, that's creepy.
It's really creepy. But moving on. Our sister publication, Kickoff Magazine, has a feature on their back page called The Secret Footballer. An anonymous local footballer tells a story, good or bad, from their playing career and time in the PSL or lower divisions. And it's our man, Sean Roberts, who always gives us the story. So what's the juice this week?
Some player from TS Galaxy. So obviously they won the Nedbank Cup last season and have made it into the CAF Confederation Cup. And they talk about, they've had trips to Seychelles and Madagascar, which haven't been easy, but they talk about landing in Africa and how hard it can be. And I quote, "We were told the hotel doesn't serve food. We would have to go out and buy our own groceries," which we thought was funny. And, you know, obviously rocking out, there was no field, there was an AstroTurf, there were no beds in the hotel, it was more like a clubhouse. And Teko, I mean, I remember me and you, we went to Niger, I think it was, with Bafana, and it was one of the...
It was
horrific.
Yeah.
I don't know if you played in the African Champions League. I haven't. I played in the Asian Champions League, which is also pretty... But, you know, in terms of going to Africa, I mean, our trip was awful, but it's... What do you think? I mean, is there... Because they talk about here that it gives the guys a lot of... airtime in terms of possibly being signed by bigger teams, etc. But to go over to Africa, the conditions are dire. You really have to adapt. I mean, Sundowns do it year after year, and they do pretty well. What's your opinion on traveling into deep dark Africa, Tex?
First of all, I'll say your team needs to have big pockets because one is you need to scout the place that you're going to stay at first. You need to make sure that the hotel is proper, has all the necessities for the team. And with TX Galaxy, clearly they didn't do that. Clearly they booked via online without sending anybody to check those things out. And that's number one problem. Yeah, and the second thing is you need to understand also to form relationships in terms of the field. Not everywhere you go, there's always going to be an AstroTurf pitch. Mm. You need to also make those kind of relationships and find out. And also, don't be scared to actually ask the teams that actually been there before. Like with Sundowns, what they did, they asked Orlando Pirates before, because a lot of Pirates have been there twice in a row. Yeah. So they understood the kind of routes I need to take and the kind of hotels I need to stay in, what are the expectations there and all the kind of stuff. So TX Galaxy, they needed to do that. But I think because of this a small team, getting excited and all that stuff, yes, it's super nice to play in the Champions League because it gives you one opportunity. Number two, it builds your character. When you come back into the PSL or within the domestic league, you become a different player. You know, it's a good challenge. Even though some of us played in the national team, but I think Champions League had made me a better player in terms of how strong-minded I should be. And also, it gave us belief that irrespective of which game we're going to play, we're going to win.
Right.
You know, that's the mentality we came with. And it's not something that we spoke about, but you could see the belief within the team. You could see, you know, the aggression that we had, you know, the ego that we had, that we are a big team and nobody's going to come here and beat us at our home ground. And that helps within the team as much. But I would say, like, the most important thing is you have big pockets. If you want to play Champions League, you need to have big pockets because you're going to travel a lot. You're going to find certain things that are very, very uncomfortable and you need to pay for them. And if you don't have the kind of money to move your hotel from one hotel to another where it's actually perfect for players, you're not going to survive in Champions League. Then they don't even play Champions League.
Yeah, good points.
Definitely. Moving swiftly forward, we have an interesting interview or quotes rather came from Siyabonga Sangweni, who retired early in 2016 due to injury, and he spoke about his heartbreak having to sign those insurance forms. And it got me thinking, a lot of readers and listeners, we have experience with insurance for like our house and our car, but what is your guys' experience with insurance for potential injury? Did you guys get insurance? How expensive is it? And how much throughout your career did you worry about, man, you know, I know Deco, you always brag you never had an injury, but Sean, like, how much of a stress was it throughout your career? Like, this could end any day.
You know what, Slew, I can speak hours on this because this is something that I've been very passionate about and actually sat with the PSL numerous times to try and fix, because the players don't have personal insurance in this country. Unlike the rugby players, unlike the cricket players, you can get personal insurance, but it costs an absolute fortune and you've got to get it from a UK-based company. The clubs here are insured. The clubs are insured. I know there is some insurance with the PSL in terms. I think Emile Baron was a good story where he broke his leg, however long it was. I think it was 2012 or maybe a little bit before when he was at Wits, and he could never play again. And he got paid out next to nothing. I mean, this is a guy who was a magnificent goalkeeper in his day, under 23 international, full international, played for Wits, played for Chiefs. And it's a worry. I mean, you look at someone like, here's a very good example, someone like Opa Manisa now, who coming to the end of his current contract, had a very bad injury this season. Okay, he's come right. But imagine now he didn't come right. And he's got nowhere else to go. And he's got these expenses because he can't play. He won't get paid out in certain circumstances. He'll have to ride. If he can't play ever again, he might get paid out something small. But it's not like England where players are completely insured. And they'll get paid out quite a bit, so they set up for the rest of their career. It doesn't happen here, unfortunately. And it is a massive worry. I went through it in 2010, just before the World Cup, where they said I'll never play again with my double knee up. But thank God I came back and I rejuvenated myself and played for an extra 4 years, whatever. But there was no insurance for me back then. So it is a constant worry, and there needs to be something done about it. But you know what, I've spoken about this for years and nothing's been done about it. So to answer your question, it's a massive worry, and this is the importance of looking after yourself both on and off the field as a true professional.
Yeah, and And man, like as footballers, you don't play the game thinking about injuries. Of course, it's something that we're scared of because we know the delay that it brings in, and sometimes people don't come back from that. But we love the game so much that we sometimes neglect the most important stuff, like your insurance, for instance. But also, I think within the structure of football in Africa, I think it's designed for footballers, yes, to shine and also to fail. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to shine, you're going to fail, you know, and like in the UK, there's a certain amount of money that's been taken out of your salary. It's been put aside when you're done playing. That money is going to be given to you like a salary,
yeah,
so that you can be able to do those couple of things that you want to do in life. And so, but in the PSL, it doesn't happen that way. Mm. What else? We've got a sponsorship that when you win the league, I think now it's increased, but it's over 10 million rands. We've got cups that are 7 million rands, between 8 million also. So there's a lot of money that is within our PSL that is so much that we can do with it. But I don't think in the longer run any player benefits from that.
Yeah.
I think once you're done, that's what I'm saying, that I feel like we're slaves. Once you're done, it's finished. We move on to the next one who's coming next. I don't think there's a system. I don't think there's a system that is put in place for players to succeed even beyond football. That's a daily struggle, and I don't think the PSL is open-minded for that. I don't think they're in the verge of being open enough and discuss those type of issues and implement new systems that will actually help the players. I think the PSL, they enjoy the fact that once you're done retiring, you come back to them and ask for the help, and then you are always referenced that you look, if you play well, you'll be like Spanban, who still works here at under 12, being a coach. Some ex-footballers go into those things because they've got no choice, not because they want to be coaches. Yeah. And I think that's what I'm saying. If the system is properly in South Africa, if we can put other system properly in place, I think we can have more successful footballers once they're retired as well. So I think, like Sean has said, we are being prostituted here.
Yeah, I was very lucky, Slu, just to end off, sorry, but I was I signed a 4-year deal at Ajax, and in the first 6 months I had to go for those ops, and they honoured my contract. So throughout the 2.5 years being out, I was still getting paid, thank God. But if I signed a year contract, what would have happened to me after that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I was very, very fortunate, but a lot of players out there aren't as fortunate.
Yeah, and one only hopes that the PSL and SAFPU are listening, and just kind of, you have
did
to
you
just
say
look back.
Did you say SAFPU?
You said SAFPU.
The players union? Who are they? The
new organization that is just created.
Oh, man.
But yeah, we only hope that you know, in this country, we kind of realize that a lot of our former players just ain't hitting it. And if we look at the Premier League, those guys become pundits and they do it for fun. You know, we want to see the same in local football for sure. Yeah. Moving on, we have This Week in History.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
So, this week in 1905, Liverpool secured their second league title. And it was the first time in league history that a newly promoted team won the top flight. So they were in the lower division the season before, came back and won their second league title.
Wow.
This week in 2012, Kaizer Chiefs coach Vladimir Vermezovic was fired. I only bring this up because 2 years later, Pirates hired him and he coached them for about 10 months before being fired just before Christmas in 2014. And then, this week in 1937, Scotland hosted England at Glasgow's Hampden Park for the last match of the 1937 British Home Championship. The official attendance at the match was recorded at 149,415, which set a world record at the time and remains a record for European competition. I think Brazil holds the world record with something crazy like 180,000 or something like that. But
wow.
I can't even imagine that many people, like, well, I can't even visualize that many people in my mind, but that is insane.
Wow.
Moving on, we have transfer news and speculation. So Sundowns, it seems they've sorted themselves with the keeper role. They have a keeper, I think it's Jody February coming back, and then two midfielders, one being, of course, Maluleka. But now they're looking to strengthen up in defense, and they're involved in both of these two transfer stories as we close off the show. First of all, Edmilson Dove, will he snub Sundowns? You know, the left back for Cape Town City has come out and said that he's happy where he is and doesn't need a big money move. Do you think that the move would make sense for him, or do you think he's right in kind of playing it safe and building himself up at Cape Town City?
Well, I can give you my opinion. I mean, Teko will probably know more being there, but I don't think, not many players will openly say, oh, I'm not open to a big money move. That's a load of bull. I think it comes down to whether the price is right for John Kamitas in Cape Town City. I still believe, and Turco might disagree with me, but I still believe Ed Nielsen is a left back, an out and out left back, and I believe that he will be a very good replacement for Langerman if the day comes. That's what they're obviously after. I think he'll be a very good fit for Sundowns. It is a big risk at Ed Nielsen's age to leave a team where he's starting regularly, but I do believe he needs to back himself, and he's good enough to play for Sundowns. I really do believe that. What do you think, Tex?
If it happens that he goes to Sundowns, I think it will be good for his pocket and his profile as well. But my biggest worry is, even when I was playing for Cape Town City, he's not your up and down left footback, you know, that will go down the line and come back, go down the line for whatever,
but
90
he
minutes.
Has it in him. He has it in him. He's got the engine.
Yeah, but not now. Now I think now, because he's been converted into a centre back at Cape Town City. Now he's been the most consistent player within the Cape Town City team this season. He's been the one that is playing regularly. Others have been chopping and changing.
Mm.
But now he's got a good quality in terms of passing the ball, reading the game well. You know, he's very strong aerially. And he's very brave as well. Sometimes he does some mini Malakia things at the back. You're like, what are you doing, Chief?
Yeah.
But he's a brave player. Mm. But for profile purposes and to grow his stature, yes, Sundowns might be a good move. Mm. But also, it comes back to what we spoke about in Changas. There's going to be different requirements. Because if you want to replace Langerman, you want to replace Langerman with a person that is younger, a version of Langerman that will go down the line and bring in those crosses. They have assists. Langerman has so many assists. I don't think people actually realize.
Yeah,
Langerman
right.
has got so many assists. And he's contributing so much into that team.
And he's consistent.
And he's very consistent as well. And
he's never injured.
Yeah, I'm like, he's too skinny to be having muscle problems. I always used to tell him that, but also is that's why you still seeing your, because like I think we had this conversation before. That's why you're seeing Lekay went there with the thought of, okay, if Langerman is not playing, you can always play Lekay, because Lekay has played as a left back at Celtics as well. But now he gets there, you realize that, oh, he actually doesn't have the requirements that I need for this team. Yes, he looked good when he was playing for Cape Town City down the line, but here we're playing a different role where we don't use wingers, out and out wingers. So now the only way that he can play is him playing as a left back, coming from deep to cross in the box, because at that time there will be so many numbers within the box. But then he doesn't give you that. He doesn't give you that what Langerman gives you. Langerman with one-on-one situation, he can come out. Lekay, not necessarily. So you Dove as well, he gets there, he's play as a left back, one-on-one situation where he needs to bypass somebody and put in the cross, he'll never be able to do that. So now that's what I'm saying, the requirements there will be higher, you know, they'll be required for you to be perfect all the game, all the time, because of now you're playing for such a big team. Yes, in Cape Town City can get away with so many mistakes, because we're a small team, we always rectify it. That's sometimes you won't be, and yes, you're right, Sean, there's no player that will come out and say, I don't want a big money move. Yes, they do. But also sometimes the fear of playing in a big team, knowing for the fact that you don't have in you the belief that you can be as good as people actually think that you can, sometimes it brings a fear in you. Then you want to play safe. Hence, probably maybe he won't, or he doesn't want to move. And also it helps because of now you're playing regularly in this team, you're still getting your national call-ups, you're still good, you're earning what you're supposed to earn. But also it's always good grade as well to earn bigger. And if it turns out, always, obviously the deal will be bigger, you earn bigger. But it shouldn't be the case of Obrigoma. Right. That's a fear. Don't do it just because you need to do it. I feel like if I also told him the other day, I said, if there's a team that you can go to and actually you're gonna fit like a glove, it's Kaizer Chiefs. Because Kaizer Chiefs, people don't understand how much they are at the back, but because they're doing so well, nobody speaks about it. Kaizer Chiefs is the other back, and that's the team that can actually fit in, because he doesn't do too many things. He does his jobs, and he goes on with his business. I think that's because at Sundowns he'll be required to tuck in, to tuck there, and Dove, whenever he gets confused, it's a problem. So I think I promise you, it's a problem, my friend. I play with that guy. He's very stubborn. So I think if he has to go, is to make a big money move. If Kaizer Chiefs come through, I think Kaizer Chiefs will be the right team for him. Kaizer Chiefs always with defenders. They always fitted in well. They always did well whenever they signed defenders there. So Mamelodi Sundowns will be required to do certain things that he's never done in his career. And at his age, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah. Unless Cape Town City come back with a new lucrative deal for...
No, but he has signed a new deal not so long ago.
Okay.
Yeah, he signed a new deal. I think the beginning of this season, I think he signed a new deal. So he's still good. He ends what he's supposed to end. So he must just enjoy his football.
Sure.
Only time will tell. You know, life is a journey. And sometimes we take that journey using cars. And,
No, Chief, we need to talk about the Tyson one.
You want to talk about, we're running out of time here. I mean, last week we did ask. We asked, what's it? We said Pirates will never pay that money. Now Sundowns are ready to hijack this move. So I guess briefly you want to chat about it. You know Sundowns. Is it a right fit for Tyson?
It's a tough one. Yes, of course it is. I think Tyson can play anywhere in the country. He's such a good player. He's a good leader. And he'll be reunited with Musa Labusa back with their Ajax days. So I think it could work very well. And I believe that Sundowns are the only team that would be able to potentially afford him. So, again, I think Tyson is one of the very few players that would play very regularly and keep into his sort of game plan. Not much would change, in my opinion, in terms of having to adapt or being more versatile. I actually see it probably a bit better fit than I'd see Pirates, to be honest. What do you think, Teko? Quickly.
For me, I think I don't see Madisha at Mamelodi Sundowns being on the bench or being replaced by anybody. He just signed a new deal as well. Madisha's always been consistent, irrespective of who comes back and who doesn't. And with Tyson going to Sundowns, the question will be, will he be playing as a right back or a centre back? And if he does, then he needs to partner somebody, which is Madisha needs to sit down on the bench. And I don't see that happening, because Madisha's been there. He understands the culture. He knows what is required. He can't even coach Madisha anymore, because he knows exactly what he needs to do.
Correct.
And Peter always likes comfort. He wants to be comfortable. The players are on the pitch knowing exactly, because he doesn't like shouting and shouting and shouting. So he always wants players to understand what he wants. So I think Madisha is the big deal. So, but at Pirates, I think they need of a leader. They're desperate to have a leader, especially at the back. And I think it would be better suited there, because they, especially when they start playing from the back, it's not required to do much, because they have a goalkeeper that's comfortable in playing from the back. So at Pirates, I think it would be better suited, because there's not going to be much that is required from him except to defend. Mm-hmm. At some towns, he'll be required to build from the back, to do all this type of thing that he's never done in his career. So I think for me, if he wants to continue being a leader that he is, and have the captaincy and the captain the big team, I think Orlando Pirates will be a perfect fit.
Unless Pizzo has the vision of moving Labusa on the left, but I think Pizzo prefers Musa in the central.
No, he's popped there, the back. No, Labusa's popped there as left back. No.
So we'll see. I think either way, a guy like Tyson has the right drive, you know, to fit in the big club.
Come on.
Another thing that would have the right drive is the car of the week.
All right, I'm going to go straight into the cars here, because I was terrible. Right, car of the week, I'm going to go with my man Pep Guardiola. One of the very few guys these days that he finds no need in spending big or killing our sky with pollution. He has now got an all-electric 5-passenger car, which is the new Nissan Leaf. The Leaf is able to approximately travel 100 miles on charge with its lithium neon battery pack with zero emission, ranging from 500,000 to 650,000 rand. It's still quite pricey if you ask me, but I reckon further down the line you're going to get a lot more people following this trend, because we've already seen what this lockdown has done to the pollution around us, how cool it is, and I think you'll be following a lot of players doing this as well in the not so distant future.
Definitely. But you know, I think these days you still need the green to go green, if you know what I mean. It's still an expensive switch. Yeah.
But this is apparently the most affordable zero emission car, starting at $500,000.
Oh my. But I mean, you know, we need that type of motivation in order to clean up the planet, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Right.
And it's
today's quote.
Sorry. No, so continue, Sean.
I felt the energy, Deco.
No, continue, Sean. I
felt the energy. I like it. This motivational quote today comes from, in my opinion, one of the best players ever to come out of South Africa, Mr. Surprise Moriri.
Yes.
And he said, "Sometimes you will never know the true value of a moment until it becomes a memory." I like that a lot. So tell all your loved ones today you love them.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, keep smiling.
I really like that one. Mm. I really like that one. Solid one from Surprise. No surprises comes from a guy.
Like him. You just wanted to redeem yourself, no?
Very good.
I wanted to say that on the history today, I think at some point, somewhere, there was a coach that actually resigned on air, chief. Like, I've never seen it before.
Serious?
Serious?
Yeah. There was a coach in the PSL that resigned online. I mean, on TV. On TV. Said, "I'm resigning after the game."
Oh, man. I'm going to search for that one.
He used to be Sean's coach.
Mushin.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say that?
He resigned on air.
Wow.
I'm Googling this right now. At Orlando Pirates,
he resigned on air.
He did in 2016.
Yeah, he was like, I'm out of here. On air.
Oh my God. That is incredible. I mean, it happened in November, but for sure that's my favorite piece this week in football history, for sure.
I remember that. I actually remember that very clearly, Turko. Well done.
Wow, that is incredible. Well, if he resigned on air, then we can also resign on air until next week. This has been episode 23 of the Car Wash. Sean told me to say, "I love you" to my loved ones. I love you, Sean Roberts. I love you, Teko Modise.
I
love every single listener and reader. And have a great one, guys. We don't know how much longer this lockdown is going to be, but we're making it work and we're doing well. So keep on doing what you're doing. We out of here.
Cheers. Yes, sir.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the Car Wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is Ahlangana Khona.